On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, it's the summer break episode where I take a look back at each of the major sports seasons, look over highlights, and share some memories from this past year in Gamecock athletics. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 165 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And we are what? Like a week? Less than a week into the off season? And I'm officially bored, y'all. I'm bored. I need my Gamecock sports. This absolutely sucks. It's just no fun. We had things rolling there for a little bit, but hope y'all are doing well. We are officially in off-season mode, officially in the summer season, and as such, I do have a housekeeping note for y'all. Just like I did last year, for the summer months, I will be moving the show to only Fridays. So just one show a week where I will go over any news that has happened in that given week. Preview if there's anything going on in that weekend, but I am trying to think of some fun, different content to bring y'all, maybe bring on some different type of guests and things like that, just have some fan-to-fan conversations and things like that. But do not forget, I will be dropping my second athlete interview. I'm planning on doing that in 2 weeks, so ahead of the 4th of July weekend, if anyone's taking a road trip, getting on a plane, things like that. It is a longer episode, so y'all can listen to that. But yes, just Fridays, one day a week from now until pretty much football season. I may do the Monday before, but we'll figure that out. But for the next couple of months here, taking a little bit of a break from my brain, but I'm still going to be here with y'all on Fridays. But got a fun interview. Excuse me, got a fun episode, there we go, for y'all today, where I will take a look back in this past year in Gamecock athletics. But before I jump into that, I do have my Gamecock fact and trivia for y'all. Today, it is a fact. Here we go. Before becoming a star tight end for the Gamecocks football team, Hayden Hurst was a baseball pitcher in the minor leagues. He was in the Pittsburgh Pirates system for 2 seasons and played for the Gulf Coast League Pirates in both 2013 and 2014. Shout out to Hayden Hurst. Shout out to the Garnet Thor. That guy was a legend. You remember when we had him catch punts for a little bit that season? Because there was just nobody who could hold on to the ball? Yeah. Good times. Our special teams have come a long way since those days here. But I do have some news to cover from this past week before I get into my summer send-off episode. Starting with the baseball team, got a lot of roster updates for y'all here. Starting with some additions, the team picked up a transfer commitment from left-hand pitcher Garrett Gainey, coming from Liberty. He held a 4-3 record and a 7.28 ERA last year. I actually believe Garrett is originally from South Carolina, so a bit of a homecoming for him. And then the team also got a commitment from right-hand pitcher Tyler Dean from Virginia Tech. Tyler pitched in 12 innings this last season and registered a 6.75 ERA. I think those ERAs are kind of inflated from what I've seen, circumstances being brought in and, you know, tough positions and things like that. So I think these are good pickups to bolster some depth and things like that, where we're going to have some roster movements in and out, seniors, things like that. You're bringing in guys with experience. Overall, I like the additions here. But then on the other side of things, there was some movement out of the program this past week for Carolina. Caleb Denny is leaving the program, and word is he is likely moving on from college baseball and is going to, I guess, head into the real world. I don't think that's a for certain thing, but nonetheless, he is leaving the program. Brett Thomas has entered the transfer portal. Wish him nothing but the best, you know, in a couple of seasons here. He never really found his footing, never really got that solidified role. Hope he finds it at his next stop. And then this one hurts. This one hurts to say. Michael Braswell, he entered the transfer portal and has since committed to LSU. So, yeah, that kind of sucks. I loved Michael Braswell. I thought he was super exciting, a guy that could kind of do it all for you, a guy that I think has a legitimate chance at making the next level. Really was a team player this past season, did whatever he was asked for. Sucked to hear him enter the transfer portal, period. But then to see him go to LSU just actually fucking sucks. So excuse my French, but it stinks. Now, moving on to some football news here. The Gamecocks picked up a commitment from the high school ranks as the class of 2024 five-star punter. That's right, Mason Love has committed to Carolina. The blue chip ratio for this class is just going crazy. Five-star punter. Absolutely love it. Special teams, beamer ball, limbo ball is in full effect in Columbia, South Carolina. Mason will be coming from Missouri. He held offers from Cal, Air Force, Arkansas State, amongst others. Last season in high school, he averaged 44 and a half yards per punt in high school. Whew. He is truly next in line to continue really this string of strong punters we have had at South Carolina. Joe Charlton, Kai Kroger, welcome home Mason Love. I think it's going to work out very well for him where, depending on what Kai does next season, maybe he stays, right? And he can redshirt and learn under him. It's a very good situation. Special teams is alive and well in Columbia. And then the big news out of the football program was that the 2024 SEC opponents were revealed this week. That's right, 2024. That's because that is the first year where Texas and Oklahoma will be in the SEC. So also meaning it is the first year without divisions. So many of the annual games are being changed. So in typical fashion, there was an hour-long show about revealing each team's SEC opponents. Not the dates, just the opponents. And of course, I sat down and watched the whole thing. So South Carolina's 2024 SEC opponents are as follows. The away games at Alabama, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and at Oklahoma. That's exciting. And then the home games, Texas A&M, gross, Ole Miss, Mizzou, and LSU. So obviously, the thing that catches most of us is that there's no Georgia, Florida, Tennessee. That's going to happen. There's no more divisions. I think that really threw a lot of people for a loop. But there's no more divisions. And whether they remain at an 8-game schedule or move to a 9, all indications were that the UGA annual game was very highly likely not going to continue. So it's weird, right? Like, I love to hate Georgia. I live for Georgia Hate Week. I despise them. So it's weird to not see them on the schedule, right? But personally, my excitement at some of these matchups outweighs that. I'm very excited to watch the matchups of Alabama, Oklahoma, and LSU. I mean, despite the powerhouse that Alabama has been, I mean, Georgia is now, right? So the challenge there is sort of equal. Going to Oklahoma is going to be so cool to watch. I mean, shoot, maybe I'll go. That is a historic place, one of the most prestigious programs. There's the history there with Shane Beamer going back to Norman. And with Oklahoma, I mean, we don't know where they're going to be at in a couple of years. Last year, first year under Venables, they were kind of mid. If they're continuing that trend, that's not necessarily Mount Everest, right? And then to welcome LSU to Willie B, if I'm not mistaken, you know, the last time that was supposed to happen was the year where there was that historic flooding in Columbia. So the game was moved to LSU. I don't think they've been back since then. So to be able to finally host them, if it's a night game too, talking about two teams that thrive off of their night home environments, that is so cool. I'm kind of annoyed that we kept A&M of this whole thing, honestly. I mean, it's great to keep Vandy too. So all in all, I think it's a fairly balanced SEC slate in 24. And mind you, you know, if you're really upset about no Florida or Tennessee or UGA, like, these games are going to rotate. This is not as set in stone as it has been, right? This is not your father's SEC anymore, for better or worse. We're going to get a lot more rotation. So maybe in 25, we play Tennessee and Georgia, right? And then you swap out Bama and LSU, right? There's all these different things. Don't forget, Texas is still out there. Is Texas going to come to Willie B in 25? How much fun would that be? So yes, losing some of these annual rivalry games is going to take some getting used to. But I do think it's also going to make when you play those teams that used to be in the East that you used to play every year, it's going to make those matchups even more intense. You know, like, imagine, like, take next year, for example, right? We play Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee. Imagine just, like, knowing, like, okay, yeah, we're not going to play you next year. Like, we want to hold bragging rights over you for 2+ years. Or if in 25 we play Florida again and we know we're not going to see them until, you know, 2 years after that, that makes it so much more intense. So all in all, I'm excited for the 24 slate. I may be singing a different tune, you know, saying I miss the UGA game. It's the first time we haven't seen that since the 90s. But nonetheless, very exciting. Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC for 24. This season isn't even here yet. The 23 season has not even kicked off yet. And we're talking about 24. And I'm already talking about matchups 25, 26. Oh my God. College football really, really is the best here. But without further ado, it is time for the summer break episode. It's graduation season, you know, and it's just, it's heartfelt, right? We had a lot. Had a lot of times together, you know, and we're going to be moving on together too. All right, enough of that. I hope that came through well. I literally just played Spotify on my phone. But nevertheless, it is the end of the year, celebration, graduation, summer break. And let's look back at each major sports season and celebrate it together, right? So starting with the football season, going to go in chronological order here. The team ended the season with a regular season record of 8-4. They did lose in a tough, tough game to Notre Dame in the Gator Bowl. They ended with the 23rd rank in the AP poll. This season, though, will no doubt forever be remembered for those last 2 weeks to close out the year with as much momentum and as on high of a high as I think you could possibly ask for by the team pulling off two enormous upsets against Tennessee and Clemson. Top 10 wins, the Tennessee turnaround game, where the team just looked like an entirely different group of people than what we had saw all year, doing a complete 180 on the offensive side of the ball, shocking the college football world and shocking many Gamecock fans, myself included. And then the fans storming the field, history was made. Just, I get chills thinking about it. Just that game, it was just incredible. And then the team was able to turn right around and go up to the upstate to Clemson. And they battled through some adversity, battled through a hard-fought game, battled through some mistakes, and stayed disciplined to pull off an unreal one-point victory to break Clemson's home-winning streak and to stop the streak that Clemson had over South Carolina. Just incredible moments. And ones where, you know, I think if this program can continue to build, right, and, you know, maybe in a couple years this team accomplishes something really great, I think we can point to it as those 2 weeks, right? Even if it's in a couple years, 3 years, whatever, those 2 weeks set up recruiting momentum, set up excitement, set up guys to, you know, dig in here. Those 2 weeks could really be a turning point for the program and could be something that we look back on at Shane Beamer's tenure and say, that was it. That was the moment. But aside from that, we had the emergence of Juice Wells, which was fantastic to watch. Seeing Spencer Rattler look like himself at the end of the year was beautiful. You know, watching the up-and-down season that the offense had was not as beautiful. Remember that? Remember that struggle bus week to week that we rode? And, you know, we finally saw Marcus Satterfield leave and welcomed in Dowell Loggins. Excited to see what he brings to the table. And then also, you know, beyond those last two games, this past season had a few other very big games for Shane Beamer and company that you really can't forget about, but they do get overshadowed a bit. You remember going on the road and beating a ranked Kentucky team? Remember how great that was? Got that monkey off our back, beating a ranked SEC team on the road? That was a huge game. Finally beating Texas A&M for the first time in front of a jam-packed, wild Willie B. That was insane. I thought we were going to storm the field for that. Just, you really felt the program taking a step forward this year. It didn't always feel like it, but you saw these things. And then the way they ended, there was no doubt that the program took a step forward. I mean, there definitely were times where it wasn't pretty. But again, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And they finished brilliantly. So I'm really, really excited for this upcoming year. I will obviously get more into that, into the team, what to expect, people I'm excited for, predictions for the year, as we get a bit closer to next year. Looking at the men's basketball team now, this was the first year of the Lamont Paris era. It started off with a bang. Got G.G. Jackson committing to USC as one of the highest-rated recruits in the country. And finally seeing such a high-profile player stay home, just the kind of guy that USC fans had wanted to come to our team for so long. And the season also started off great with the freaking third game of the year being against Clemson, and Gamecocks got a victory thanks to some last-second heroics, right? The vibes were high. Felt like, my gosh, that's all we needed. Just needed a new coach. But then the team would go on to struggle the rest of the way, going 11-21, but had a highlight win against Kentucky in Lexington. Remember how fun that was? Remember the fun game against Alabama? Had them on the ropes. And then you did end the regular season on a win after beating Georgia. Personally, I felt that as the year went on, this team was playing better, even if the results were not there in the win column. You know, there were a couple of very close overtime games against SEC opponents. And then you also saw the development of, you know, Josh Gray, Michi Johnson, Jacoby Wright, and others take place before our very eyes, right? But it just felt like the roster was just simply too thin. They weren't gelled together, you know, for the most part of the year, and it showed, right? But Lamont Paris has put in a lot of work to build up the roster since the season ended. He's landed a couple of hopeful would-be big-time contributors led by BJ Mack. So time will tell on the Paris era, but, you know, as we sit here today, several months away from tip-off, You know, I certainly feel better about this roster overall than I did this time last year. Which takes us to women's basketball. And I mean, where to begin? You know, it was just another fantastic, dominant year from Dawn Staley and this program. They were regular season SEC champions. They redeemed themselves and won the SEC tournament. And then they made it to the Final Four, which, as incredibly difficult as that is to do, they kind of made it look easy. And so they got to another Final Four. That banner is going to fly forever. It's just unfortunately in that game, they ran into an incredibly hot Iowa team with a historically great player and ended up on the wrong side of it. But again, this team accomplished so much, and that should not be diminished. Everyone who knows this team knew that they wanted to get back to a national championship. And, you know, it hurt like hell to not have that chance. But that does not change what this team did. We also said goodbye to some real legends. Aaliyah Boston, Zaya Cook, Letitia Amy here, Victoria Saxton, Olivia Thompson. You know, the whole freshies. The entire group of seniors that were on this team, they left their mark in Gamecock history for sure, and we are forever grateful. And so looking ahead, you know, Dawn has also dipped into the transfer portal to find a shooter and some depth in the post. But, you know, there is some young, good talent on this team that could really blossom over the next season or so. It's never going to be easy being as consistently dominant as South Carolina has been. And there may be a down, relatively, right, slower down year than others. But I expect Dawn to get us right back there. She's a great recruiter. She's a great motivator. The talent is there. The talent will continue to come our way. And I expect great things for this team very, very soon. And then the baseball team. And, you know, this one is, it's still fresh. I was hoping by now I'd feel a little bit better about it. I mean, of course I do, but it's still fresh, right? The Gamecocks ended the year with a record of 42-21 overall and 16-13 in the SEC. The season came to a close in the Super Regionals after the team really bullied their way through the Columbia Regional. And I think that's a big, big highlight of the year. Just the fact that this team brought postseason baseball back to Columbia, that meant a lot to me as a fan to see. Some other highlights for me included winning the Clemson series, those two LSU games, sweeping Florida, walk-off wins against Mizzou and Georgia. There's just a lot. It was a fun year. It was a very solid year for the Gamecocks. That's my official rating. Very solid. They were one of the country's best teams for sure for a good chunk of the year. It was just simply that the injury bug hit bad and it took a toll on the team and it just held them back from having this be a great season. I am incredibly proud of them for performing so well in the Columbia Regional and getting to Super Regionals again, which was just electric. But, you know, the absence of an Omaha trip is noticeable. So I look forward to this core group of guys that's currently on the team now that have talent. They have determination to get there. And, you know, those same guys now know how hard it will be to get to Omaha, but I can only hope that it will fuel them and this coaching staff. But that's it, y'all. That concludes the summer break and graduation ceremony. Toss your caps in the air. You know, in closing, I will say this past year in Carolina athletics was a blast. It was a pleasure to watch all of our teams and to share my thoughts on this show and with y'all on social media. I really am grateful. There were some really, really great games this past year, ones I don't think we'll forget anytime soon. And, you know, and there were some moments where I will remember who I was with and where I was for the rest of my life. You know, there were also some lows and some frustrating games, plenty of frustrating games, right? Few sad moments for us as fans, but I guess it's really all an analogy for life. Gamecock Athletics is an analogy for life. Just put that on a book. But the best part is, though, you know, we have the whole Gamecock community to connect with and share all those moments with. And even better, there's always another season to get excited for, and hope will always return before the start of every sports season. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Reminder, moving to only Fridays for the summer, but please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review to the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.